Juan? It's nice to be here again. It's been a while. A lot of things have happened in this world since you were last here. We've had those that wonderful hockey series in Vancouver and the riots that we saw as never before here in Vancouver. There have been riots in London, England, and there have been riots in other countries in the Middle East. People are venting their wrath, and we can see there's a lot of disorder in the world, and this is not even the tip of the iceberg what is going to happen in this world someday. And a lot of people are very religious, and they still seem to be able to get away from the truth of God and get right into all kinds of disobedience and sinful and awful things. But before we get into reading the scripture, appreciate if you bow your heads for a moment and we'll just ask the Lord's blessing. Our blessed, holy, and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. Your word will never pass away, not one word, not one tittle, not a thing. It'll be eternally for us to forever learn and to grasp the past, the present, and the future. We thank you, our Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ, who humbled himself and came down to this earth to die for sinners. He humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross. We thank you that he rose again for our justification, and he denies no one who comes to him in repentance. And we thank you for that, that he came that all might be saved. And we know that all won't be saved. But whosoever cometh unto him, he will in no wise cast out. But he's left his word for us. He might learn by it, grow by it, live by it, and share it. And we thank you again now for this time, asking your added blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you please turn your Bibles to Psalm 117. This is more or less an introduction of what we're going to get into a little further on. And when you get to 117, it says, O praise the Lord, all you nations, praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise ye the Lord. Now, the interesting point here is that the Gentiles, all you nations, are included in this blessing that God wants to pass on to all people everywhere. And he wants to hear something from him, from the people, and that is, praise ye the Lord for his marvelous works, his wonderful salvation. So the Gentiles, this is written in the Psalms, likely of David, and he is saying there is a blessing in the future for the Gentiles. And thank God for that. We are Gentiles, we're not Jews, and we've been blessed to hear the word of God, be able to understand it, and to take it into our own hearts, and to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, and to follow him and his teaching. Other interesting thing about this Psalm 117, it is the shortest book, book in the entire Bible, Psalm 17. You won't find a shorter group of chapters, only two. Then you get over to Psalm 119, that is the longest book in the Bible, Psalm 119. And then if you look at Psalm 118, it is the center chapter in the whole Bible, Psalm 18, the center chapter. Then if you look at verse 8 in Psalm 118, verse 8, it says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. That is the center verse in the entire Bible, that verse. Right at the very heart and center of the Bible, that particular verse. So what do we learn from that? It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Now, I know this church here does evangelizing through perhaps walking in the malls, giving out tracts, speaking to people, inviting people to church. There are many ways to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I believe this particular church is involved in that outreach work. But the outreach work begins inward. It's an inreach first. And once we know the Lord Jesus, we have a desire to see friends and family and so forth come to know the Lord, even people we don't know. Now, I've mentioned before that at the PNE, there is a gospel tent, and there is a replica of the Ark, Noah's Ark, a replica of it, and it's sort of cut in half, and you can look inside and visualize what it would have been like in the days of Noah. Now, we also have a lot of tracts, gospel tracts, in many languages. I don't know if there are 15 or 20 or more languages, maybe more than that, of gospel tracts and Bible verses like John 3:16, John 14 and 6, and so forth, ways of sharing the Word of God. But as I look again in that verse 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. I can tell you that sometimes people come in and they are absolutely blind to the things of God, and they are enlightened. They have a possibility of being enlightened, and that is through Scripture. That is through the Word of God and the sharing of the Word of God. But then there are others who come in, and although they don't really state at first what they really believe, they'll correspond with some of us later, like I've been receiving some emails, and I find out that this person belongs to a cult. They go in there to see what they can find out, and it doesn't line up with what they believe, and so, of course, they reject the truth of God. Now, one of the secrets to that, to finding out really what they believe, is you find out if they have a prophet or an earthly leader. A prophet or an earthly leader. And I found out that there are some very famous prophets, such as Ellen G. White. She is a famous prophet that is linked into a particular church. And her teachings, going back over 100 years, are what they believe and teach today. Then there's Mary Baker Eddy, which is another prophetess, and there are those that are linked into her teaching. So the clue is, if anybody has a prophet that is other than what we find in the Scripture, that is back almost 2,000 years ago, that prophet is not a prophet of God. Modern-day prophets do not exist. Peter says in the book of 2 Peter that the prophets were in days past. In fact, there were false prophets, but he says the warning today for the church is false teachers. So we have to be on guard. And what does it say in that verse? It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It doesn't matter which man nor where. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Now, the unregenerated man understandeth not the things of God, because they are spiritually understood. Understand that? Don't put confidence in any man. If you have a prophet who's coming by here and he has great things, glorious things to teach you, I'd say beware, because you don't want to put your confidence in man. All men fail. But the Bible is true. It is for us to help us, to guide us, to keep us, and to tell us God loves us, number one, wants to save us, number two, and number three, he will keep us when he saves us. But at the same time, we have a mission. We're not just to live unto ourselves. We're not here for just a good time. As we look, and we are having a good time, I believe, in our country here. We can enjoy the peace, relative peace, at least we have in our country. There are certain threats here and there, but if we want to compare ourselves with other countries and what goes on, I think we're well off here and thankful for it. But all that's going to change. Times are changing rapidly. We're going to see in the future, and probably not too far in the future, that things are going to be crumbling. But it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Jeremiah adds this. He says in Jeremiah 17:7, you need not turn to it, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. I'd like to refer you now to something that happened here in Canada just a while ago. A very famous public servant a leader of a political party died. I'm sure you all know who that is, correct? He died. And there was a state funeral for him, giving him honor for his life and his dedication to politics and so forth. And so there was a funeral service on television, and I watched that service. And I noted during that service, there was not one mention of God Almighty. There was no mention of the Holy Bible. There was no mention of Jesus Christ, yet the man who spoke spiritually is a reverend, is a pastor of a church. Now, do you find that unusual? Well, I certainly did. So I was very interested in this man because what does it say in Scripture? It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. The people in this great hall, there were 3,200 seats all filled and maybe a few added, were listening to the words of this man. He was kind of funny at times and spoke well of the deceased. But where was the mention of God in this? Well, what he did say is this deceased man was not a religious man. But this deceased man said that he believed in God and that his life was how he worshiped God. Very interesting concept, but not biblical at all. So I thought I'm going to check out this pastor and check out this church and see really what they believe. And here's, if you don't mind, I'm going to tell you what I found. This reverend, he's a reverend, and the Bible says reverend and holy is my name, referring to the Lord. So I personally wouldn't want to call myself reverend. But it's the Metropolitan Community Church pastor Brent Hawks made a controversial decision. This goes back to 2001 when he officially celebrated the union of the two same-sex couples in his church, 2 years before Ontario legalized gay and lesbian marriage. When it became legal, there was a huge turnout, Hawks said in an interview. Now it's slowed down a bit. The trend is reflected in statistics from the City of Toronto, which has seen a decrease in the number of same-sex marriages. The number of licenses issued declined from 1,034 in 2003 to 747 in 2008. Hawks said the biggest demand for a religious ceremony at his church used to come from the United States until recently moves by some states to legalize the same unions. New York is the most recent state to legalize same-sex marriage, following in the footsteps of Connecticut and Massachusetts. There was an update then in July 2002. It says the Supreme Court has ruled that denying same-sex couples the right to marry violates the constitutional rights and has given the Canadian federal government 2 years to draft new legislation that includes same-sex marriage. The government is currently appealing this ruling. It has retaliated by threatening to abolish marriage altogether for everyone, suggesting instead that people be simply encouraged to enter into domestic arrangements. In the meantime, in spite of this ruling, same-sex couples are still currently unable to obtain a legal marriage license in the province of Ontario. Going to keep this scripture in mind, please. It's so important to nail this right in there. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Now, that ceremony, 3,200 people perhaps plus listened to the words of this man that is involved in this action. You call yourself a reverend. You call yourself a pastor. You call yourself a believer. July the 6th, 2007, Reverend Brent Hawks of the Metropolitan Community Church in Toronto, the same man who flouted Canadian law by illegally marrying a homosexual couple in 2001 and who subsequently pushed homosexual marriage on Canada through the back door of the judicial system, has now been awarded the highest honor that can be given to a Canadian civilian. He was awarded, along with several dozens of others, the high honor of the Order of Canada, given in recognition of a lifetime of distinguished service in or to a particular community, group, or field of activity. He was given the Order of Canada. It is better to trust in the Lord than to trust in man. Man may give permission to do things. May have a title or an office and give permission to do things. But he doesn't have the authority of God to do them because they don't know God. A person can be a reverend, he can be a pastor, a priest, or he can have some high religious title. It doesn't mean he is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're getting into these days when the flood of cults is increasing, and false teachers and false prophets. It's increasing. And more people are being led down the so-called garden path to believe in false teachers and false doctrine. I'll just read this one verse from Romans, or two verses or so from Romans 1, 16, 18. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, like we've read in Psalm 117, and also to the Greek or the Gentile. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. There's more in Romans, because those who follow that line that this particular pastor is spreading, it says that they are rejected by God. Why? They've used the natural things of God in an unnatural and unholy way. He calls them reprobates. Very serious. Now, does that mean God doesn't love those people? No, it does not mean that at all. Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So that really is still good news. But here, this church, I'm sure you're interested what they stand for. It says our vision. So I looked up their website. Here's our vision. To be a bridge. That sounds very good. For all people. And that's good. Becoming more together. Experience the power. And welcome home. That's the bridge. And what they want to do, it says advocacy, caring, celebration, compassion, courage, diversity, faith, joy, leadership, and spirituality. And that doesn't sound too bad. Next section. At the MCC Toronto Church, we believe, and here's their doctrine, in a loving and good God known by many names. Whoops. How many gods are there? There is one God and one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. They believe God's love is offered to everyone unconditionally. Well, we believe that, unconditional love. God is loving the worst of sinners and the best of men. It does mean that he's going to take them to heaven without repentance and accepting his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior. He says there are many paths to God. And one of them, well, this is good news, is Christianity. Here you have a false teacher again. God is everywhere with us, always gives us strength and works through us. Every person is created in the image of God and is inherently good. You believe that? Don't believe that. It's not true. Inherently, man is a sinner. Man is lost, but can be found through the goodness and mercy of God, through the Lord Jesus Christ. All life is a gift, and each life has a purpose. That's true. Jesus is our teacher, example, Savior, and friend. Well, that's partly true. We believe in the power and effectiveness of prayer. We believe in eternal life. Problem. There are many paths to God, and one of them is Christianity. When you don't have Christ, you don't have life. If you don't have Christ, you cannot teach truth. It is impossible. Men, in their natural state, are proud. and blind. We have to beware because we're getting into darker days. Now, we don't experience that so much right here in our country. We just need to look south of the border and see the disasters that seem to come upon them quite frequently these days. Will it touch us here someday? I believe it will. I took a course probably 5 or 6 years ago at SFU in Vancouver, and it was about earthquakes. Not the potential of an earthquake here in Vancouver, the certainty of it, the different plates. And we are on a fault. And if that fault breaks, all of us will be heaped into the ocean. If the fault doesn't break and just has a large earthquake in Vancouver, because of its uniqueness, the way the power poles and all the electrical systems are set up in the alleyways, they would fall against one another. Vancouver would be burning with an awful earthquake. Is that scary? Well, I think it's kind of scary. But at the same time, I'm not scared because I'm born again. And I don't have fear. The way of dying may not be pleasant, but the next step is absent from the body and present with the Lord. So we need to be careful as believers of the cults and what they teach. If you please turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Paul the apostle wrote all these letters in the New Testament to the church, to the believers. And this is what Paul wrote to Timothy. He wrote two letters to Timothy because Timothy was a young man, and I don't think young meant he was 19 or 20. He was older, mature young man. And he was writing to him because he had a great work to do. And we have the benefit of reading that very same letter because as believers we need to know the same things that Timothy learned. So we have to consider that when Paul is speaking to Timothy, he is also speaking to us as believers. If we're not believers, then we're a little ahead of ourselves. But it doesn't mean we can't grasp what he is teaching. He's talking about the things of what we might be seeing today. Now, the last days began almost 2,000 years ago. So if someone's keeping count of the days and numbers, we know we're getting closer to the last and ultimate days. In verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. There will be persecutions and trials for Timothy, and very likely that could happen in our lifetime as well. And if they're not great persecutions and trials, they may just be little ones. Where if we stand up for our faith, we might find ourselves a little bit uncomfortable. We might feel rejected. Now, I can tell you personally, as far as I know people, Christians everywhere, I think I'm the most rejected Christian that I know. I've given out, I couldn't tell you how many tracts, had how many conversations, given out a couple hundred copies of the Good Test, and the response has been minimal. On a personal level, I think I might have mentioned here before, we were at a reunion, and I gave out 41 copies of the Good Test. I heard a response from no one. People that I've known since grade 4 and 5, some of them, in Lord Byng and then over in Richmond High. Known them for all these years. And with them I have no credibility. Why is that? Because I don't live the way I used to live. Because I'm a Christian. And I speak about Christ, speak about the gospel, speak about salvation. And I can tell you that I am personally a rejected person most of the time when it comes to that. Now, if I'm to involve myself in the same lifestyle, hey, I'm right in there. And they'll love me. Sort of. But not now. Friends that I've had for years and years and years when I became a Christian and I shared the gospel with them, they don't have any care for me at all, would avoid me whenever they can. Why is that? Because I'm a Christian. I'd like to think it's that. I hope it's because of anything else. But when I was not a Christian, when I was unsaved, we were great friends and buddies. Had laughing, good memories of the past. I wouldn't call those persecutions and trials, but I would just call it, hey, you're not going to be accepted a lot of the times for your faith. Now, you see, he says, now watch this in verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. It'll be a me first, what I want for myself. They'll be covetous, wanting everything, boasters, bragging about whatever, maybe sins, and proud. Remember, pride comes before the fall. Blasphemers, using the Lord's name in vain and filthy language. Disobedient to parents. As long as the parents can't see them, they can do what they want. And unthankful. That's what it says in Romans chapter 1. People were unthankful. Couldn't look at the living God of creation and say thank you, even for this day. For the health that I have. And for what I have. And unholy. Watch those things. It's what Paul told Timothy. Be careful. Because this is the way it is and the way it's going to be and the way it's going to grow worse. People without natural affection. And what they're speaking here really is no love towards their children. A natural affection you should have for your children. Some people don't have that. And if you look at the newspapers, you'll find that some parents are killing their children. And some children even killing their parents. Women that would run off of the man and get rid of their kids because he won't have them. Things that aren't natural are happening and on the increase. Truce breakers, it says there in verse 3. Truce breakers, without a treaty, disregard for an agreement that you make, a compromise. That'll be so common and is incontinent. Really what that means, it's without strength to resist a passion. Having a passion which is against the things of God and not having the strength to resist it, but yield to it, inclined to do anything. He says, that's what's going to be happening. And we as believers will see that and we have to restrain ourselves from that. Says fierce people that are fierce. I'm just reading in the paper where there was a man crying in a park in New Westminster, a big man crying. A police officer goes to find what's wrong. The guy pulls out a knife and stabs him in the chest just yesterday. Fierce. What would cause anyone to act like that? What kind of a society are we churning out? It's like people going through a meat grinder. And yet, we have the power of God. We really do. We have the power of God, which is the gospel. That's the power of God. It says, despisers of those that are good. Now, if we ask ourselves, are we good? You would probably say, well, not really. I wouldn't like to call myself good because Jesus said there's none good save one. That's God. But what he's talking about is behavior. Style of life. Way of thinking. And we have our mindset on goodness. We will behave, if I may say, good. If we have our mind distracted into things that aren't good, guess what? Our behavior will not be good. And so, Timothy is told by Paul, watch, be careful. Last days, perilous times, things aren't going to be good. But some people, and I'd like to mention this pastor, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. He has a form. Well, he has the big robes. He stands in a church. He has a reverend title. Pastor. And what do people do? They go to these people. People in trouble will attend a place like that and they'll hear that they're basically good. And all roads lead to heaven and God. And you can feel content. But we know as believers to turn away from such. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, well, it means weak, really, instead of silly, laden with sins, led away with different lusts or desires. They're able to accept flattery because of pride and vanity. That's just like Eve all over again. But it says they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. In our travels, I think we've all met people who are religious and say they're Christian until you ask them the great question, are you born again? Or when were you born again? And their eyes open, their ears open, and they look at you with a big question mark on their face. They don't know what it means. Many don't. Some attend churches, do not understand salvation, having a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and Timothy is saying, listen, there are these people, and you be on your guard, and you attempt to be a help. It mentions that in verse 8, Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, and I have no idea who these men are. I cannot find them in Scripture. But there is an allusion to them. What are they? They have corrupt minds, and they're reprobates concerning the faith. Now we're talking about a lot of people here in our day. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, and as theirs also was. Truth will finally triumph. But Paul encourages him now. He gets into it, and he wants us to grasp this. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. Paul is really speaking highly of himself here, but what he's really speaking of, the Spirit of God within him, who has made him into this man of God. Before this, he was a good man, a religious man, and a lost man, and a persecutor of the Christians. But now he says, the persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Listen, as Christians, we are vulnerable too in our lives. There are things in the world that can grab our attention. I don't mean watching a baseball game or playing soccer. I'm talking about things that can influence your life and not for good. Practices, things that get a hold of your mind and your thoughts. Those things you have to guard against because they take us away from the Lord. And it says there in verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Have you suffered any of that? If you haven't, you will likely if our country continues to go down the way the rest of the world seems to be going. But it says, on the other side of it, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I've had an email writing contest with this fellow that I met at the PNE. And I tell him, listen, look at your leader here. This is the one you're following. You're not following Christ. You're into the Old Testament. You're trying to bring the Old Testament to the New. You need to understand the apostles' doctrine. You need to get a hold of what the letters are of Paul to the church and John and Peter. Grab it. But I just get the contrary. Because he's following a man or a woman instead of Christ. But he says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Through him. Paul said, these things you've seen in me, do. What did you see? What did he see in Paul? The fruit of the Spirit of God. A man who is gentle, kind, long-suffering, meek, loving, good. Saw that in Paul. And Paul wasn't bragging. He was saying, the evidence of my life is in my attitude and the way I behave and the way I think and the way I speak. Continue in those things. Because you as a child, like all of you, I wouldn't call you children, but you're young people. You've known the Holy Scriptures, certainly a great measure of them, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That's the salvation, first point. Second is to live it. Because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That you, me, all believers, as it says, man of God, but I would say children of God, may be perfect. In other words, matured, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's the encouragement just taken out of the context. I hope it's not out of the context, but at least out of the discussion and what we need to be aware of, because I believe we are getting, if we're not in the last days, boy, we're just pushing at the end of the brink. So today there are false teachers, and their purpose is they lead people astray. There are dead churches, which means there's no gospel in that church. It doesn't matter the hierarchy, the great membership they may have, the leaders they may have, a dead church has no gospel. An apostate church, no Christ. Christ is not in that church. They don't believe in Him and trust Him as their Lord and Savior, nor do they preach it or teach it. And there are the counterfeit churches, those that are the cults, that have switched the Bible around, taken a selective verse and made a whole doctrine and church on it. Apostates. And there are a lot of those. Paul says, be careful. Be connected. Be faithful. Read your Bible. Pray. The secret to spirituality, if you want to know what it is. A very good man answered that question one time many years ago, and I heard him. You want to be spiritual? The secret to true spirituality? Read your Bible and pray. Now let us close with that. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the inspiration that you gave to the writers of Scripture. All Scripture comes from you, our Father. And it is to help us and to correct us and to encourage us and to make us, as we believe, accept, and follow, make us into the people that you want. And we have a message. The power of God, the gospel. People can be saved through the gospel. Not through good works, not through good attendance, nor good behavior, nor good citizenship. But they can be saved through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that faith is what we need to build on by reading and believing and praying and having an attitude that pleases you and care for and love for others. So we thank you, our Father, for your word. Help us to not only just hear it, but do it. And we ask your continued blessing on this church and this gathering, upon these young people, we ask. Thank you again for your loving kindness. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen.